And remember that one of the reasons to remember the hole of the pit from which we were digged, I need to add that in there, not just remember the hole of the pit. There's a lot of people, they like reminiscing about the hole of the pit. Yeah. You know? You see that a whole lot, and I don't watch it a whole lot, but I have seen it. You see that a whole lot on the 700 Club. Yeah. All the drug addicts and the dopies and the drunkards and the, you know, the fornicators and how their life's all straightened up now. And that's a good thing if they know Christ. That's a good thing. But the fact is, you can turn from all those things and still not know God and still perish under judgment. And it would probably be better off for people, at least in this life, Mason, if they turn from those things. But sadly, religion makes that the glory, you know, in itself. The glory is as the Apostle Paul told the Galatians, remember? Galatians 4, verses 8 through 10. After that ye have known God. Yeah. It is amazing when one begins to consider who man is, what man is by nature, that anyone ever comes to know God. Exactly. That's an amazing thing. That is a manifestation of God's mercy and grace. As Paul said, you know God, or rather, are known of God.
Amen.
Because remember, according to Paul in Romans 1, there are some people who knew God. They knew the truth, Mason, but they turned the truth of God into a lie. And rather than serving the Creator, they turned all of the attributes, the glories of the Creator, and gave them to the creature.
Exactly.
And began to worship the creature. So just knowledge itself, our knowledge of God, that's one thing, but here's the glory. If God knows us, that's saying something.
Yes, sir.
That's saying something. But Paul says, he uses these words, I marvel, I stand in doubt of you, I'm perplexed by you. And why? Because at one time, here you were, idolaters, God brought you out of that hole of the pit, and now you're turning back to something that is of no avail before God. You're turning back to the law as a way to justify your flesh.
Yes, sir.
And the truth of, if I can just sum it down, all of the book of the Epistle to the Galatians in the negative is basically this. When you turn yourself over to the law, you're turning yourself over to the flesh.
That's it.
Because the law deals with the flesh. And when you turn yourself over to the law, you're turning yourself over to the flesh. And when you turn yourself over to the flesh, you will find nothing but failure. That's all you'll find. Now, Paul says it. He gives it. And I think I kind of, maybe not wound up on these verses, but I did mention this. In verse chapter 5, and he says, verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now that's a universal phrase that people have used for, you know, years about a lot of different things. But it's the truth that oftentimes we hear so much, we really do not take note of the seriousness of the truth that it portrays. A little leaven, just a little bit, will leaven the whole lump. This is why people like Earl or me or Joe, or you, if you believe Christ. This is why we stand so steadfast and so hard-nosed for the truth. Because a little bit of error,
yes,
eventually, just a little allowed in, just a little, eventually will leaven the whole lump.
Yes,
and you go back and read history, and it's sad. They allow just, well, maybe we're being just a little bit too hard. As the Apostle Paul told the Galatians, he said, there was a time when you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me.
Yeah.
We were friends, right? That's something only a friend, David, would do, pluck out their eyes and give to you. He said, but now am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
You see? And how quick things can change. And that's what he told these people. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Yes.
As the Apostle Paul goes on to say, I withstood them, no, not for an hour.
Amen.
He said, I even withstood Peter to the face because Peter was to be blamed.
Amen.
Well, it'll be okay. Maybe this thing will just blow over. No, Paul said we're going to deal with it right now. And I think of that, and I know it's silly, but I think of Barney Fife. Nip it in the bud.
Yes, sir.
Nip it. Nip it in the bud.
Yes, sir.
That's the way the Apostle Paul felt.
Yes, sir.
A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But now, here's the point. If these people don't come back around, then as a fellow told me here one time, one fellow who's here now, wherever there's smoke, there's fire somewhere. When there's a problem, when something's going on, if something's happening, things are not quite as they ought to be according to the Word of God, then you know somebody's got a problem somewhere.
Yeah.
And sadly, as a preacher, you know, as people think a pastor, most people think pastors are the people you come and bellyache to. You know? And I don't even find that in the Scripture.
No.
You know? As another person who is here this morning told another person who's not here this morning, they're not a so-and-so, such-and-such counselor, you know? They're not here to counsel people in their marriages. We're not here to counsel people in their jobs. Scripture has plenty enough information for that.
Yes, sir.
And sadly, what you find out is most of the time, people come to you to complain about somebody else.
Exactly.
That's right. They come to you to complain about, they don't come to you because they got a problem and they need it settled. They come because somebody else, they got a problem with somebody else and they want you to help out.
Yeah.
And the truth is, Paul says, I have confidence in you, how? Through the Lord.
Amen.
That ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you, he shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, I have more to say about this because, you see, in today's so-called Christianity, it's all about me.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's all about me. You know, I am somebody. I need to be recognized for who I am, my background, my glorious case, you know, where I was, where I've been, where I came from. And when the truth of it is all about this, it's all about Christ, and it's all about the other person. That's the truth of Christianity. As well as Paul says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And that's something we must never forget. We're not trying to make the gospel palatable to natural man. When you've made the gospel palatable to the natural man, you have perverted the gospel.
Exactly.
Because that's what it takes to make it palatable to the natural man.
Right.
The gospel is offensive. It's meant to be that way, and we ought to glory in it.
Yes, sir.
Because the gospel will make separation.
Yes, sir.
The gospel will divide. It will make distinction between men and women. It will put people on one side or the other.
Exactly.
Then as the offense of the cross ceased, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. And I told you what that means. For brethren, and here it is. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
Been called unto liberty. But what is this liberty? Is it liberty to serve self? No. Is it liberty to serve the flesh? Definitely not. Now we have been called unto liberty.
Sir.
Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh.
Amen.
But by love to what? Serve one another.
Yes, sir.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Now we talk about you commit, Mason, you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Paul takes it to the other side, doesn't he? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, is Paul saying, okay, you've got to do that? No, he's saying, that's all the law is fulfilled right there. Now, what are we to love our neighbor as ourself? Is that the command? No, we're to what? Serve one another.
Amen.
That's what we're told to do, right? Where the law says, love your neighbor as yourself, grace says, by love, serve one another. Where the law says, thou shalt not steal. It doesn't say, thou shalt not steal, then confess. Or if you do, you confess, rather. The law says, thou shalt not steal. If you steal, you're guilty. What does grace say? Let him that stole do what? Well, I'm at liberty. I'm at liberty. Huh? Let him that stole do what? Steal no more. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then. Here's the amazing thing. And there are times, now how do I put this? There are times when you do something. I mean, it may not even be with some great thought. I mean, a circumstance happens, a situation comes along, you respond to it, you do it, Joe, as best you know how at the time, hoping that in some way it is in the truth and to the honor of Christ and His gospel. But after it's over with, you kind of wonder, I wonder if that was really in the spirit or the flesh. Was I maybe doing that with some ulterior motive, you know? But oftentimes we try to complicate things with that attitude. They're not, ought not be complicated with that attitude. And here's why Paul says it. Now look at it. I just want to deal with a couple parts of this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the fact is, the lust of the flesh, and this is in its most evil sense, the lust of the flesh exists within us still yet today.
Yes, sir.
There's still a part of the hole of the pit with us.
Oh, yeah.
We may have been digged out of that hole of the pit, but our old nature is still just like it always was.
Exactly.
But what he says is, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, it's weird people get all these ideas about walking in the Spirit. They think of some preacher up here ranting and raving and getting into some rhythmic chant. Well, he was sure in the Spirit. No, he's probably going mad. You know? He's lost his ability to control himself. You know? They have weird ideas about these things. But it's right here. It explains it right here. It explains what walking in the Spirit is. What is it? But the fruit of the Spirit is, here it is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against, and that's only a partial list. That's not all of it.
Exactly.
That's certainly not all of it. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. These are the right things to do, David, whether you perceive, whether it's flesh or spirit, whether you feel right in doing it or not. That's not the point. These things are right things. But as the Apostle Paul said, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And here's what I want to try to concentrate on. Now the works of the flesh, and what's those next two words? The works of the flesh are manifest.
Sir.
This is not some ethereal, well, I wonder whether this was right or wrong. If it was, in accord with the fruit of the Spirit, simply take your hands off of it, quit worrying about it, let it go. Right? It's not up to us, Mason, to try to figure out all the details. But if you set to put your hands to these things, you know that these things are wrong.
Yes.
They're not justifiable.
Exactly.
They are not. God did not set us at liberty to conduct ourselves after these things. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Somebody says, what's that really mean? Oh, come on, now you know what it means, and let's just get off of it. Huh? Adultery, fornication. Well, what's the difference? Doesn't matter. You know what it's talking about. You know? It's sin. It's wrong. It's flesh. It's corruptness. Thank God some of us were digged out of the hole of that pit.
Sir.
Right?
That's it.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, partying. That's what that means, is reveling. Partying, with or without alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of people think partying is alcohol, people getting drunk. No, we already talked about drunkenness, right?
Yeah.
You got people who are party people. I don't care if you're drinking tomato juice. Their whole life is about partying. Their whole five-day work week is all based upon getting that behind them and getting to those 2 days when we can go out and party. It don't matter whether you got alcohol or tomato juice. If that's your life, that's the flesh. Reveling. I had to stop on that because a lot of people just don't see that. You know? They always associate, well, you're going to go out and party this weekend, and they think, well, what do they mean? You're going to go out and get drunk this weekend.
Yeah.
That's not. This has separate things, right?
Yeah.
Drunkenness, reveling, and such like.
Yeah.
Anything that's even close to that, Paul says.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
Anything that's even close to that. As Paul wrote, I think it's to the Colossians, he may have even said it to the Ephesians, everything you do it as unto the Lord. So, when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, can you say, God, this is unto you? Now, you put it in that context. Makes it a whole lot... It brings the list a whole lot larger of what the flesh is.
Exactly.
But the thing about it is, as I've tried to point out, Paul said, the works of the flesh are manifest.
Sir.
And that's... And look, let's consider this thing as... Compared with here we were in the hole of the pit. God digged us out of the hole of the pit.
Yes, sir.
Right? Why should we return to the hole of the pit?
Exactly. That's it.
Colossians 3 gives us a prime example of this. If ye then be risen with Christ.
Yes.
That's the point. Okay? That's the point right there. Right there is the determining factor. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, okay? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We just sang that song. What was that first song? Can't even think of the verse. What number was it?
315.
I want to read that. I wonder how many people sing this and are lying through their teeth when they sing it. 315. Is that? Yeah. How happy's every child of grace that feels his sins forgiven. This earth, he cries, is not my place. I seek a place in heaven. Huh? I wonder how many people sing that and they don't really mean that.
Yeah.
Oh, they want to go to heaven. But we're not talking about just going to heaven. See, I want to live here. I want to enjoy here. I want to suck all the nectar out of this life I can. And when if that's done, and I kind of start to swivel up and get old,
yeah,
then I want to go to heaven when I die.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know what that is, don't you? That's flesh.
Yes, sir.
Because flesh don't care about the nectar of this. I mean, no. The spirit is not involved or is not concerned as it is against the squeezing the nectar out of this world. It is to set your affections on things above now.
Yes, sir.
Mind heavenly things, not earthly things.
Exactly.
Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then look, it's not just what we think of as the positive thing. This remembering the hole of the pit from whence we've digged. Here's a glorious thing. Ellen, I've been raised with Christ. And I have been enabled by grace God working in me both to will and to do of His pleasure, to actually think on beautiful things, pure things, things that are lovely, things that are from above. Isn't that what Paul says to do? I think it's Philippians he said that. But not only is that true, but we're also warned to do this. What else? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, kill them.
Yeah.
Now, notice he doesn't say kill the flesh. The reason is that's an impossibility. You cannot kill the flesh.
That's
why Paul didn't say you need to get rid of the lust of the flesh to the Galatians, did he? He said walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, it's not you won't have the lust, but you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And somebody says, well, if I'm going to think, I might as well do it. Well, you go on right ahead. And you'll suffer for everything you do.
Yes, sir.
God will deal with you in accord with that.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's just a fact. As I said last week, which I think I ended up on. You know, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A man that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Now most people like to think, well, if I'm sowing to the flesh, I'll reap corruption. That means everything's going to go bad for me. Things might be going high on the hog for you. But it's all corruption.
Exactly.
You sow to the flesh, you may gain. You may get. And it reminds me, and Earl was the first one I ever heard speak of it, about the old horse leech. Just sucks more, 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 more. And that's the way the flesh is. That's the way my flesh is.
Yes, sir.
Right? More, more. Cannot be satisfied with what I got. Bellyache and cry because it costs so much. But still, just can't be satisfied with what I got. What does he say? Mortify therefore your members. You can't kill the flesh. But you sure can deaden its members.
Yes,
mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Then he lists many of the same things he listed before. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake, what does it say? For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now that's what we've got to figure out right now. Not just do I walk in these things or don't walk in those things, but do I live in those things? Now, a child of God can be guilty of any one of these things.
Oh, yeah.
But they no longer live in those things. Right? They walked in those things when they lived in those things.
Oh, yeah.
That's the natural order of things. You walk where you live. Right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, at times, you may walk where you live, but you may experience something outside of that life. But it's only temporary, David. It's momentary.
Yeah.
It's a blip on the radar screen.
Yeah.
Right? The same thing goes whether it's the flesh or whether it's the spirit. And Paul said, you used to walk like that when that's the way you lived.
Yes, sir.
But now, ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we're here, we're told, and this, remember the whole of the pit. I used to live there. Right? These things, some of them, maybe not all of them, I was certainly capable of any one of these things. But here's the thing. Too often we forget the hole of the pit whence we were digged.
Yes, sir.
We forget where we really were.
Yeah.
That we may have been some whore or whoremonger. And God Almighty brought us out of that. And not only brought us out of that, Joe, but he set us at the feet of Christ to learn from him, to know of him, to be taught by him, to experience his mercy and his grace. Why should I ever want to go back to the hole of the pit? Right? But sadly, it does happen sometimes. People are either, as Paul said, deceived, they're bewitched, right? Or sometimes they deceive themselves. You can't always blame something. Now, sometimes they're talked into it by somebody else. Sometimes they talk themselves into it. Just it ain't gonna hurt a little if I just stick my toes in the water. Huh? Just remember that the flesh is that big shark just under this. All right, a better one's like big alligator or them big crocodiles. You ever seen them shows about over in Africa? And those wildebeests, they stick that snout down just to get a drink of water, just right at the edge. And I mean, this massive crocodile is hiding in about that much water with his snout right up there. And what happens? They stick down together, David, and you're caught. I remember Earl years ago saying this. You can live right at the edge of the hole, right at the edge of the pit. But why should you? You can play around it. David, you may or may not fall into it. You can play all around that hole, you know. But eventually, if you're close to it, you may fall in. But if you're back here away from it, you can't fall in it. Right? And that's what Peter, I'll go back to what Peter says about giving us assurance that if we're constantly being mindful of the truth of God and his mercy and his grace, making our calling and election sure, if we do these things, ye shall never fall. The problem is we get complacent about these things. I know that. I know I'm one of God. I know the truth. I've been there for years. I believe this. And I'm pretty strong in the faith. And I believe that, you know, it's not only touch not, taste not, and handle not, but I believe I can guzzle. I believe I can dive right in with both feet and I can handle it. And you find out the flesh is even more strong than you ever remember it to be.
Yes, sir.
And as Paul said, even a little leaven leavens a whole lump. But what's sad, and I'm serious about this, what's sad is when this happens, there has to be divisions take place. Now, you just go back to Galatians and think about this. Here were the Galatians. Christ said, before whose eyes Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you. Right? And I stand in doubt of you. I am perplexed by you. I'm worried about you. I'm concerned about you. But he said, there's some people in your group, and God's going to make a distinction between some people. Right? Whoever they are, they're going to bear their judgment. You know? Paul told the Corinthians, and this is not something we should be amazed at. He said, there must needs be heresies among you, so that they that are approved may be made manifest. We're not living here in a little la-la land. You see, we're not coming to a government-run school that says, all right, here's the only thing that can enter into these doors. People can sneak in here. Yeah. Jude actually said in their day some had, right? Yes, there were corrupt men that had snuck in unawares, crawling in like a snake on its belly, slithering through some hole in the wall. And remember, the false prophets, they don't come as false prophets. They come how? They are wolves. But how they come? In sheep's clothes.
Yes, sir.
And Jude defines them this way. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Yes, sir.
They are using the grace of God as an excuse to feed upon the lust of the flesh. And it is sad, but we've evidently had that even here. Happen even here, that people that profess the grace of God in some public way, but privately, what they want to do, all they want to do is feed the lust of the flesh. And as the apostle was warning the Corinthians, and this is a tough one here, I still got a little bit of time left, but this was amazing as I read this. It's 1 Corinthians 6. I know it's a familiar passage. And it's amazing how Paul, in other words, let me try to put it this way before I even go into it. Paul is almost, as I read things, the way Paul does this, he does it in 1 Corinthians. We actually read it. It was actually in Galatians 2. Now, you're turning to 1 Corinthians 6, but let me turn back to Galatians and read what he said. I didn't read it all. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The truth is, we are all sinners. And we are saved sinners. And we are capable of and can be guilty of any of these lists of crimes against God in this scripture. But that's not our life. Exactly. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I came not to call the righteous. And I'm going to add a few words in here, but he said, I came not to call the righteous, but who I actually came to call was sinners. Not righteous people, right?
Yes, sir.
I came to call sinners, but not just to call sinners. But to do what? To call sinners to repentance. David, he actually digs us out of the hole of the pit. He doesn't save us and leave us in the hole of the pit.
That's right.
So here's Paul. You know, he does this. And this is amazing to me. There's a lot of things I'd love to talk about here, but we don't have time, and that's not the particular subject. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now he says it that way, right? Even the smallest matters. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law before brother, and that before the unbelievers. And there's the main kicker.
Yeah.
It's not just you have problems. You may have problems, but you can settle those problems amongst yourself.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what he's saying. But you don't do that. You're not settling your problems amongst yourself. You're taking these things to court before a bunch of unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Now, here's how hard Paul is. We live in a day, and that's what I began to talk. We live in a day when it's all about me, me, me. Right? What does he say? Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded?
Yes, sir.
Nay, you do wrong and you defraud, and that's your brethren.
Yes, sir.
He's basically saying, get off of it.
Yeah.
Stop, you know? And then look at what he says. He's saying there is a line. There's a line.
Yes, sir.
And the fact is, it's hard to know where that line is, Mason. There's a line where some people are on the other side of it, and some people are on this side of it. And when both of them are living so close to the line, sometimes you can't tell the difference.
That's it.
Now, one of them is on the okay side of the line, and one of them's on the bad side of the line. But the problem is, they're both so close to the line. They're both living so close to the same way. You don't know the difference. Now, Paul, here you're believers. You're going to court before unbelievers. You're at fault. You're doing wrong here. Change this thing. And what's he say? Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Be careful that you're not on the wrong side of the line here. Right? You know what he's saying? Now, he didn't say, all right, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're doing this, right? No, he didn't say that. But we can't say, well, that's all right, I'm saved, I just live any way I want to. Not if you're one of God's, you won't. Mm-mm. God owns you lock, stock, and barrel. And he will bring glory to himself through you one way or the other.
Exactly.
If it's bringing you down to the dust and bringing you back into repentance again, he'll bring you back there. That's what amazing. Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Now, somebody said, well, what's that real, what effeminate mean? It means somebody that conducts themselves out of character with their chromosomes. That's what it means. Today we call them transgendered. He's a male. He got all the qualities or parts of a male. His chromosome says he's a male, but he's a little girl. He wants to wear dresses. Poor little transgendered. You know what? Be not deceived.
Exactly.
The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And effeminate's included in there. I guess some old mean Baptist must have put that in there. Must not. Paul didn't really write that in there, did he? Well, it's in there.
Yeah.
Idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. It's all about homosexual, sexual perversion of any kind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now, he's not saying you cannot be guilty of one of these acts again. But this is not where you what? Live.
Exactly.
It's not where you live. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in is not really by. It is in the Greek. The word's not by. It's in. E-V. And in the Spirit of our God. Now look, I love this. All things are lawful unto me. Now he's not talking about Torah law. Paul's not saying now the law says it's all right to commit fornication now. This word lawful here means it is permitted.
Yeah.
God does not restrain us from all sin.
Yeah.
When he saves us, Jack, he doesn't say, all right, I'm not going to let him sin again. There is a sense of permission, Joe.
Yeah.
There's a sense, or a certain degree to which, Mason, God will let us go.
Yes,
all things are lawful, and the word is permitted.
Yeah.
There's not one particular group of sins that God keeps his people from committing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And there's the thing. You see, we all in times of weakness can fall. We may fall a lot of times. But what do God's people do because of God's grace? They get back up. They are lifted back up by God. They don't fall and stay there. People who fall and stay there, that's called apostasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to the analogy. Remember, there is a line. Now, you can live right up close to it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a line there, and there's people living on either side of it, right up close together. Can't hardly tell the difference between them because they look and sound and think so much alike on many occasions. But the point is, prove to yourself which side of the line you're on.
Exactly.
How are you going to do that? See, the best thing to do is what? Stay back, get back away from that line.
Yes.
Don't even get close to it. And serve Christ.
Yeah.
Believe Christ. Trust Christ. Honor Christ. Obey Christ. It's best to fall flat on your face way back away from the pit. So you don't slide down in the pit when you fall. And there's a difference. There's a difference between a believer sinning and falling flat on their face and then God lifting them back up and saying, all right, he taught me the hard way. I learned that. Then Mason going over there and falling back in that slime pit. And God letting you wallow around in that thing for a while. I don't want to live there, do you? I mean, I can imagine Peter now. Right at first. Can you imagine? Peter's an apostle. He's got authority. You know? David, when he speaks with the authority of the Spirit of God. And here's this Paul. He ain't been an apostle as long as Peter. And he withstands Peter to his face. Now, I know how most people are. I got a feeling Peter was thinking in himself, Who's he think he is? Don't you think? But I bet you later on, Peter said, boy, I'm glad that happened.
Yes, sir. Huh?
God could have let this go on. And look what I could have caused and where I would have been. Right?
Exactly.
It happened. Peter said, whoa. Or Paul said, whoa, hold on. Let's nip it in the bud right now.
That's right.
Nip it in the bud. Let's stop it right now. I guarantee you that later, Peter could say, thank God for that man, the Apostle Paul.
Yes, sir.
And he stopped it right there. You know, he had the nerve by the Spirit of God to stand up and just tell me the truth.
Yes, sir.
And that's where we all stand here this morning. This is not me telling you anything. You see, I'm not up here telling you anything. I'm not up here telling you my opinion. We're up here talking about thus saith the Word of God. Right?
Yes,
when, you know, Paul deals, I mean, these Corinthians were, yes, I read this, they had heresies there. They had immorality going. If I, in my present state, I would have walked into that assembly, Mason, I probably would have started condemning every blessed one of them. You know, you got false Christ you're preaching, right? Somebody said, well, it must be all right then. Just think about it. And there's other things to say, and I will say it, but I want you to think about it. Somebody said, well, they're not around now. But if you look at some of the history, some churches went the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah.
Because those churches as local assemblies did not take heed to truth and to righteousness. And isn't that what Christ warned in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation?
Yeah.
There are certain things that you're responsible to do, our Lord Jesus Christ says to the churches, right? And if you don't fulfill these responsibilities, he could do a number of anything, right? Come and take the candlestick out, right?
Yes, sir.
See, this is not all about, well, okay, we believe this, then we have it wrote down in the catechism. We come here today to quote these things, memorize these things, learn these things. This is real life. This hits where we live. This deals with me as well as my family members.
Yep.
This deals with each and every one of us here. First of all, individually, but then, more importantly, because no man lives to himself. You remember this assembly, what we do. I'm a member of this. You're a member. What you do, what you say, reflects this assembly. And it reflects on Christ. It says that if I sin, if I go out here and I start conducting myself in a way that is contrary to the truth, in a way that is contrary to the truth of God, you know what it says is to happen to me? I am to be openly rebuked. Right? Rebuke openly that others may fear. This ain't a game we're playing, David.
Exactly.
You know? But the truth is, these things go for all of us. Because what we do, who we are, how we conduct ourselves in this world reflects on one another. Now, I know someone said, well, I don't like that guy. That guy. Talk about me or somebody. That's all right. You know, there's a lot of people feel that way. If they don't like me, there's a lot of people that don't like certain people of their character, or not character, but because of their way they conduct themselves, argument for that. But if they don't like somebody because that person holds to the truth of the gospel of God's free and reigning grace,
yeah,
I don't care what little quirks they have wrong with them. They dislike them because of the truth, not because of them little quirks they may have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and put this on the tape, but I'll close. It's amazing. You never know what's going to happen. I had a guy come up to me. He said, you're a pastor, aren't you? And I thought, oh, here we go again. You know, here we go again. I said, yeah. He said, I might need some help concerning the book here one of these days. I might need to ask you a couple questions. I said, all right. He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, all right. You know, so I thought, who knows what's going to happen? I'm not going to push anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, hey, well, come on here and I'll talk to you. No, you okay? You got questions? I'll answer your questions. Well, that person came up to me probably a couple weeks later. And he began talking, and I, you know, knew it was coming. And, of course, to be honest with you, the only Muslims, most of them that I've dealt with, you can't talk scripture with them. Not God's scripture. You can't talk scripture with them. And he came up to me, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, it's not really a question. I just want to make a statement to you. He said, I don't know if I'm cut out for this Islam thing or not. I said, well, I can't give you any help there. It's up to you, you know. And he didn't ask me about scripture, Christ, what I believe, where I was, you know. He just said, I don't know if I can, you know, I'm cut out for this this Islam stuff or not. So you never know, do you? Right? Well, I will tell you, most of them that I've met some, and I meet them in not the most prime of circumstances, if you get my drift, you know. Most of the ones, or all of the ones I know, have a problem with their life, you know. They're locked up, you know. But to have one say, I don't know if I'm cut out for this thing. How do you answer them? About all you can do is like I said. I mean, I can't help you there. But I tell you what, if you ever ask me, what do you believe? What do you think? Where do you stand? Huh? And they will ask you. It was just yesterday, I was getting ready to leave from work. And the guy said, well, what kind of denomination or whatever it is are you anyway? And see, I'd rather them say, what do you believe?
Yeah.
But they almost all ask what kind of denomination. So I'll give them an answer. I said, the closest thing I can describe, used to describe it, is a primitive Baptist. Oh, well, y'all don't have music in it. He said music. He didn't say musical instruments. He said, y'all don't have music. I said, oh, no, we have a piano. So I kept waiting. Waiting to see if he would go further, but he left it right there. He left it right there. Of course, he's Church of Christ. And once I mentioned, he said, most primitives don't have pianos and stuff. I said, I know. I said, we're different now. I said, but we do believe in predestination, election. He said, well, I'm Church of Christ. And that's all he said. Conversation died right there. I'll tell you, some people know enough just to shut up, don't they? Some people don't know enough to shut up, and they continue pressing you, and you have to tell them. And then some people, every now and then, there'll be one or two here or there that God maybe has given an interest, and they begin to ask questions wanting to know the truth. The hard part's telling the difference. That's the hard part. But if anybody ever comes to you and just starts corrupting the truth, speaking ill of the truth. I thought about, Joe was reading it there, and I thought about the Apostle Paul, and what was that one name called, Bar-Jesus?
Yeah.
A false prophet? You look in the Acts, and look at how Apostle Paul dealt with that man.
Yeah.
He said, you son of the devil. You got up in his face, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, I love you, brother, and I hope God kind of helps you and straightens you out. That ain't the way Apostle Paul dealt with him. And I tell you, that's generally the way most people would love to be. They'd love to turn away. This is what got Paul's dander up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Was this guy Bar-Jesus was seeking to turn away disciples from the faith.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's a lot of people out here in the world that want to do that. They'll do that with false religion. They'll do that with partying. They'll do that with the job. They'll do that with sports, whatever it is. They'll seek to turn God's people away from the gospel, from the truth, by turning them to something else. And they become an enemy of mine. They become an enemy of God's people. They become an enemy of God. And I'll stand up against them. Because God Almighty has called me to stand here in this place and speak for the truth, no matter what happens. You know, that's more important. I've said it. I don't know how many times I've said it. I think some of you get it. I don't know that everybody does, but I think some of you get it. That truth is more important than fellowship. It's more important. It's more important than fellowship. Well, if our fellowship is just in, we kind of like one another and we get along because we've been around together so long, we ain't got nothing. But if our fellowship is in the truth, we got something that can never be broken other than by God's own sovereign providence.
Yes, sir.
If our fellowship is truly around the truth, then there ain't going to be nobody, even if they sneak in that door, that can split us apart. They may cause us problems. David, they may cause us some rashes and some sores and some pain, but they ain't going to be able to split us apart if that's where our fellowship's at. And that's why Earl did it. I'm doing it. Joe's going to do it. Hammer and hammer on the truth. The truth. The truth. And you got to get to that place to where you look at everybody else with a little bit of a jaundiced eye. Because they could possibly be the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. When people walk in this door and I'm at a straight, I'm thinking, well, good. There's a new face. And then I think, oh, I've seen new faces before. And they cause trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, new faces have to come.
Yes, sir.
But I'm just being honest. It happens.
Yeah.
But see what most, and they just love everybody. We have them come in. They sit here 3 or 4 weeks. I want to be a member of this assembly. Everybody comes, shakes her hand, glad to have you. And then they just go away, right? Go away. That's why I'm telling you. You better hold everybody suspect till you have real reason to believe and have real reason not to. See, it's not, all right, we're going to make you feel at home. No, you better show us you are to be counted worthy of this fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Right? Our churches today are filled with unregenerate people that don't know God. And that's why they have some of these stupid, silly problems they have.
Yeah.
Their problems are not just the regular, everyday problems of life, of sickness and pain and arguments here and there. I mean, they get mad over itty-bitty old stupid things.
Yeah.
You know? They have arguments in business meetings over what kind of light bulbs to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in them arguments. I mean, or not them arguments. I've been in those business meetings, David. And people sit on it, we need new lights. So, do we get fluorescents? Do we get compact fluorescents? Do we get standard bulbs? Well, I'm blah, blah, blah. And everybody's running their yap, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like the way we do it here. Something got to be done. All right, deacons, take care of it.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of light bulbs you buy. Just make sure there's light in here. Right?
Yeah.
Father, I pray that you join us together in thy truth. Certainly we desire to have some companionship and comfort in many of the blessings and the things of this world, but may that which binds us together as a local assembly, as a group of believing friends, may it truly be the truth of the personal work of thy Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.